Welcome to another episode of Musky Talk Monday on the Team Rhino Outdoors Musky Fishing Podcast. This week, I'm going to talk to Vance Kalaz with VK Musky Lures, and we're going to talk about the Stinger gliders. He's got the new 6-inch and the new 8-inch, and of course, if you're looking for those baits, check them out at TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. As you'll hear in this episode, Vance is a musky fishing guide, so he's only making baits in the off-season, and so what we have in stock is all we will have in stock until, I'm assuming, sometime in early winter. It'll be maybe he'd get us something in December. Hopefully, we'll be loaded up again before show season next year. And fortunately, we have many, many of them in stock currently. So if you're looking for, you know, some new Stinger glide baits, check them out at TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. I will have to say that I don't know. I did another episode, and it was literally supposed to be out this week. But because we don't have the baits in stock, I pushed that episode out. So if you hear an episode coming up pretty soon and the intro doesn't sound like it lines up with things, it may not. And because I was way ahead of schedule, and I assumed that podcast was going to be this week, and it just didn't happen to turn out this week. So hopefully we'll get those baits in stock soon, and then we can release that podcast. But until then, we'll just keep that one on the back burner. And all, and like I said, it may say, like, hey, it's mid-March, and here we are talking about muskies, but it may come out in April. I don't know. Well, at this point, it will come out in April because it's not coming out in March. So anyways, that's kind of what that is. As I always say on this podcast, make sure you hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to so you never miss an episode. In the past, I had been very inconsistent with this podcast, but so far, for March, I literally hit every single Monday. We are the model of consistency with this podcast for at least 4 weeks. So I'm very happy about that. That was my goal, is try to make this a consistent short-form podcast, something to fill in the gaps on your drive, something to fill in the gaps on your, you know, when you're walking the dog, or, you know, you're out taking a walk, or you're at the gym or whatever, and just to help you get an introduction to different gear. When we get fishing and when we're talking to guides that have, you know, are on the water, we'll kind of talk about what gear's been working on the water, you know, what people are finding, are hot baits, hot colors, that type of stuff. That's more or less what we're going to talk about on this. If you want, you know, break down structure and things like that and talk about guides from all over the place, go check out the Backlash podcast that I do with Musky Mayhem Tackle. That one is far more consistent, but it's also a little bit longer. We do about hour episodes there. So if you haven't been there already, go check that out. And if not, you know, if you haven't, like I said, if you haven't, check it out. And if you have, we thank you for all your support and all your listening. And one last thing, I want to thank everybody for their support over show season. I may have mentioned it on the last week's podcast, but that was recorded before actually shows took place. We had a tremendous time on the road this year. It was great to meet many of you and talk to many of you. I have a lot of notes written down on my phone of whether it be bait suggestions that we need to get in the shop or color suggestions. So I want to thank everybody who took their time to stop into our booth and specifically took their time to talk to me at the booth. It was a fun road. I mean, we couldn't ask for better weather. It was amazing that way. And so that's great. I'm extremely thankful for everybody and the way show season turned out for this season. And of course, now we're back here in the shop. We spent the weekend unloading things from the trailer, getting them loaded back onto the website. So you may find that, you know, inventory on the website might be a bit higher than it was last week, and that's because we just got everything from shows. And we're working through some stuff, that newer stuff that we didn't have at, or, you know, that we had at the shows, but it wasn't online. We're working to get that stuff online as well too. So a little bit of patience. Hopefully in the next week or so, we'll be caught up on a lot of that stuff. And I know in the meantime, there's a bunch of rods and things I need to get online and reels that we got online. So just a lot of different stuff coming to the website. But once again, if you're looking for gear for your next musky fishing adventure, it's that time of year. It's, you know, gear up time. It's show season's over. People are starting to get on the water. You know, musky anglers in Wisconsin, it'll be a little bit over a month and they'll be taken to the water in southern Wisconsin. So if you're looking to get ready for that time of year, you know, go check out TeamRhinoOutdoors.com. And with that being said, I'm just going to jump into the conversation I had with Vance. We're going to talk about Stinger glide baits this week. All right. My guest this week is Vance Kalaz, and it's VK Musky Lures. Vance, let's talk a little bit about your lures today, because that's kind of what we do on this podcast. Let's talk about the transition here. Or first, let me give you a second to introduce yourself for people that don't know. Let's not skip over that part. Why don't you talk a little bit about yourself for a minute? People, you know, what you do in the musky industry, and then let's talk about how they can get in touch with you first.
Yeah, I mean, I could just start from a guide aspect. My name is Vance Kalaz. I guide in northwestern Pennsylvania, starting today, essentially. And I go till Memorial Day. And then once that is done, I transition all the way up to Chautauqua Lake from June 1 to November 30th. My charter company is called All Day Muskie Charters. And sometimes when you're a guide, you get into bait building because you want to see things that you believe will catch fish and put fish in the boats for your clients. And that's where I'm at now. And that's why I'm on this show under VK Muskie Lures.
Absolutely. Great. And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you for a guide trip, how do they go about doing that, Vance?
They can hit up my website at vancekalazmuskie.com or just Google search All Day Muskie Charters. You'll find me on there on Google. Some good things, maybe some old boxing and football articles, but skip past that and just go to the muskie stuff.
Absolutely great. So let's talk about it. You kind of hit on it. Sometimes as a muskie guide, you find yourself in the muskie bait manufacturing end of things. And you had found yourself there before under, you know, with the Fat AZ crew, you know, and let's talk about how come the Stinger was previously labeled under, you know, Fat AZ, and now it's with you under VK.
And so I worked with Andy and Todd since like 2014. It was like a 10-year thing. And it was just time to mutually part ways and go off and do our own things. And that's just where it was. And when we split up, I took the Stinger glide bait and they kept the Raptors and the rod holders. And that's essentially all that happened there. It was very nice and mutual. We're all still friends and still text and talk. And Andy helped me out through the whole process. I mean, of course, you learn a lot in all those years of you know, being part of Fat AZ Muskie Products. That was huge. You know, I've gone from, you know, doing like the dirty work, you know, if you think of it like from a restaurant industry, I was a dishwasher, and then I made it all the way up to being a cook. And so he was very influential in the bait building process for me. And towards the latter part of working with those two, you know, eventually you get comfortable with the rundown of starting the build from scratch to finish. And that's where I'm at right now. So I took the Stinger. I always liked the Stinger. You know, it was kind of like a dark horse in the fleet of the baits that we were producing, which were, of course, the Raptor that everybody knows about, the Swimmer, and the Stinger. And to be honest, like the first thing that I started making was that rubber bait. And I think of the reason I started making it, when they were like, you know, Andy was like, you do this stuff, because the rubber baits are pretty difficult to make. They're kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the lineup that we had. It was very, very tough to learn how to paint rubber. That stuff doesn't like to stay still. So I started there, but I ended up with the Stinger, and I'm very happy with that. Like I said, it was a dark horse in the fleet, and you know, there's just so many baits out there. But I always liked that Stinger, and so that's what I ended up with.
All right, it's the dark horse, but I would say, man, I've heard a lot of noise about the Stinger probably in the last couple of years. Like, what took it to that level? Because, you know, I would say it's not a mainstream, you know, glide bait, jerk bait, but it's in certain circles, it's got like a cult-like following. Like, how did this happen in the last couple of years? Because it seems like it's definitely been the last few years where it's really come on strong.
So, yeah, it is definitely in the last couple of years come on very strong. Now, again, we've always used them. We've always liked them. It's really tough to get a bait to have some type of a stardom. The way that a bait gets some type of a stardom and a cult following is obviously putting fish in the boat and people having success on them. And such is life in angling, where you're just like, I have to have one. I have to have one. Well, what happened was I took a charter out with some young kids that were just getting into it. And they were making a spoof YouTube channel, and they were like, oh, we're going to get into this. We're going to start fishing. We're going to make, you know, videos. It's going to be hilarious. And, you know, it was just supposed to be a joke, but it actually took off because people were, you know, constantly looking for information on fishing, especially locally. So I take these kids out. They have tremendous success on it. They really like the way that this bait is working for them. They, of course, transitioned from everything from bass and perch and walleye and pike to muskies. And the glider was easy for them to use. It's a relatively easy glider to work. And when I was out there on the charter with them, I was like, you know what? I think just with their level of skill right now, this might be the best presentation for them to be successful throughout the day. So we chose that bait. And then they caught a fish on it. So, of course, when you catch a fish on something, such as life, you want to get that lure, you know, and then you start to build confidence in that lure. And then all of a sudden you're using that lure all the time, because it's your confidence bait. And so they were doing this on their YouTube channel and in the background of it. And then all of a sudden we were getting orders for these, and we're like, we don't have any right now. And I'm on the water, and back a couple of years ago when I was with Andy and Todd, you know, I was on the water, Todd was on the water, and Andy was at home. So he couldn't do everything. Like when the baits were produced, all three of us had to be working at some steps to produce. And it's like a small amount of time throughout the year. It's like, you know, that first quarter when we could develop baits, and it's the same right now because it's such a process. But all of a sudden these kids are catching them on them, and we're getting orders from all over the place. And we're like, I'm sorry, we can't fill them. We just can't slow down this, what we're doing right now to build the lures. We just do not have the time to do it. So it really, then you bring into that fact that, okay, so we can't get them now. And that also kind of builds a want factor in the fishing industry. Oh, they're hard to get. We need to get them. And then when they're available, boom, they go quickly. So it all started organically just from a charter that had success on the lure. The kids went off on YouTube and used it. Then it started reaching other areas. And because of that, I believe is the big reason that there's a cult following behind it. When you thought of us, I mean, it was always the jerk baits. You know, we're jerk bait anglers. I'm a jerk bait angler. Action, boom, 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 pulling the whole time. That's how we fish over here. And so when you hand somebody a glider, it's different. You know, it's a less aggressive presentation. And like I said, that presentation was just efficient for the crew that I had out that day. I thought that that would put them in the best opportunity to catch some fish and just get used to that, the new musky tackle aspect of big lures and all that stuff. And that's how that happened organically. So it's nice to see.
Yeah, it's a very cool story. You know, you talked about how easy this glide bait is to work. Like, let's go with the rod that you're using on. Because, I mean, neither of these two baits, we're going to talk about the 6-inch and we're going to talk about the 8-inch. Neither of these two baits are awfully heavy baits, I wouldn't say. You know, what type of setup are you using for this thing rod-wise?
So, rod-wise on the 8-inch and the 6-inch, I like something with a responsive tip. And sometimes that's hard to find in the rod industry. You know, you want the perfect rod. That's why people are getting customs now and things like that. But I like something that has the responsive tip. So when you tap it, that lure does what it's supposed to. So when you tap it, it doesn't have so much flex in that tip, if that makes sense. I want it to be responsive. But when you run into that, sometimes you're into those extra heavy outfits when you're gliding. And a longer rod. So if I were to say like Desert Island rod for it, something in the 8-6 to 9-foot range, extra heavy, responsive tip. You know, that could be a St. Croix. That's what I use. The Big Dog, Legend Tournaments. but look for the extra heavy. I want that responsive tip action.
Yep. Big Dog from St. Croix Legend Tournament. I used one last year quite a bit. I actually used it for jerk baits as well, and it worked great for that too. You know, typically these types of baits, I would use a solid steel leader. Is that what you guys would recommend with these baits as well?
Yeah, I would use a solid steel leader. Now you can use this, you can on that leader, just, you know, straight wire. I use the Trophy Times. I think they're 178 pound, just straight wire. I put a stay lock on it just because of changing efficiency for guiding. A lot of people will just use the split ring, and you can absolutely go directly from leader to split ring to tie point on the glide bait. You can absolutely do that. I use a stay lock. Some people say that's wrong. Some people say it's right. It's all up to you. But what's important is, you know, for the 8-inch, I like a 10-inch to 12-inch steel leader with a stay lock or split ring.
All right. And then let's talk about technique for this bait. I know, I would say glide baits can be a frustrating thing for newer anglers because I think they don't necessarily know what the right technique is with it. And I think a lot of them overwork it. They make longer pulls than they need to, you know, like 2-foot pulls, 3-foot pulls. You know, what's the technique for this one? And, you know, is it similar to like a Hellhound? Because a Hellhound, you could literally just crank, like pop that thing with your reel and you can get it to dance side to side. Is that something that'll work with the Stinger as well?
So functionality of it, your cadence, I like to call it. For the 8-inch, it is a tap, small tap, you know, maybe 6 to 12 inches at max. If you're pulling on it, I don't like to pull. I like to tap. So it's get your slack in, tap down, get your slack in, tap. And that you're correct in saying that you can overwork a glider. If you're pulling on that thing might want to bust out of the water. It might glide to the left or right, just kind of cattywamp the slip up on its back. If you're overworking any type of bait, essentially from, you know, big rubber, that has a lot of leeway in it when you're ripping and pulling on that. But when you do that with a glider, it's not going to run as true. So you want to be kind of gentle taps, half reel crank, gentle tap, half reel crank, if that makes sense to the listener. It's always so hard to try and describe how to use a lure without being hands-on with it in the heat of things. But obviously easier for me to do on the guide trip. You know, people are like, I've never thrown this before. And I'm like, oh, this is how you do it. You know, hands-on is nice to see, but small tap, half reel crank, small tap, half reel crank. That's the best for the 8-inch. The 6-inch is a bit different. It is similar to a Hellhound. That 6-inch, you could do cranks of the reel and get that thing to walk. But I'm so action oriented and what I've been doing since I've started musky fishing, I like to tap. You know, I like my hands to always be doing something engaged. So again, with that smaller one, it also doesn't like to be overworked. It's a small tap and a crank, a small tap and a crank. And that thing's going to glide a good 1.5 to 2 feet left and right from center when you get that perfect cadence. And you can work those, you can work, you know, if you work gliders quicker, tap, crank, tap, crank, tap, crank, it's going to shorten that glide. If you tap it and crank it gently, it's going to glide left or right, you know, to its potential. Get back on the slack, tap it again, it's going to glide to its potential. So if you slow it down, it goes wider. If you speed it up, it stays kind of tight.
Yeah, makes sense. That's kind of how I would say I work most glide baits. I don't know that there's any that I give real long taps to. I think in taps is the perfect way to describe it. That's what I would do. Or pops, you know, pop, pop. That's kind of how I would do it. You know, it seems like I got to talk to a lot of people this winter at the shows, and, you know, they say, oh, I don't like this glide bait because of this reason. I don't like that glide bait. I'm like, well, first off, what type of leader are you using? And second of all, how long of a pop are you making, or how long of a pull are you making? Like you said, I call them pops or taps because it's not much of a pull. Like it's not like I'm working a Suic or what I would suspect you guys work a Raptor with. It's definitely, I mean, we're not moving the line much more than 10 inches.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And for the smaller glides, you know, I would use a smaller leader. I just would like to point that out as well. So like the 6 inch, I'm not using a 12. I'm using something that's like 6 to 8 inches. It's smaller. And that's just because the 6 inch, it'll turn around on itself. Like that thing will glide hard. And when you tap it again, it'll want to like turn around and we say like kiss its, you know, butt. So you want to, if you have a longer leader and you're doing that, it has a chance to foul up on itself. And that just comes with all gliders. You know, you can't show up with something that's too big. I remember there was a gentleman that showed up and we were glider fishing and he had an 18 inch steel leader. And I was like, man, that's not going to work. You know, I mean, you're going to get fouled up. And like within a couple taps of the reel, the thing was just, it was fouled up on the leader. I was like, all right, let's switch this out. This is why we do it this way. You know, so smaller bait, smaller leader, act important.
Definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the 6 incher, because that's something that you didn't have with Fat AZ. This is strictly new to VK, is the 6 inch size of it. How much work went into like getting this thing dialed into where it's at now, that, you know, it's the final product that you want to have your name behind? How much effort does it take to get this glide to do what you needed to do? Like as far as like, you know, the steps to it, was it something you guys got dialed in really quick, or did it take a while?
No, it took a while. You know, life happens and you want to develop a new bait and you want to test it. And of course everybody's busy and all that good stuff. And it took a lot of sweat equity. You know, I compacted probably, I don't know, 4 months into about 2 weeks to try to get this thing perfect. And lots of ups and downs with it. It was something we always wanted to do. But once I had it in its entirety, I was able to spend time with it, kind of like sun up to sundown with it. It just was always on my mind because I wanted to get this thing to run correctly. Gliders are touchy. When you go to make a glider, I think it is one of the most difficult baits to get dialed in because weight is everything and the smallest thing could throw it off. If you're using the wrong size split ring on some of these gliders, they won't run correctly, and especially at the smaller ones. So trying to develop the small one and getting things correctly spaced out on the lure to get it to its functionality to run correctly was exhausting, but it was something that as soon as I got off the guide trips last November, I got right into it and I was thinking about it all the time. So it was nice. I mean, it took a long time, but it was something that was on my mind the whole time. And I did not want to stop until it was corrected. A funny story about it is you can have your blank, and it's all different styles of weights, weight placements all over the place. You have your blank. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You then have to paint the blank. You then have to put the hooks on the blank, and then you have to put your epoxy on the blank because this is what it's going to run at its, you know, in totality. You need all those things to kind of have a happy marriage to get it to run correctly. So there's a lot of test subjects to get that all done correctly. And long story short on that, I finally get this down and it's winter and I live right off of Lake Erie and I'm running out of time because my testing areas are dwindling. I'm not having open water anymore. We had a warm winter. However, I was developing getting the body correct, getting epoxy work correct and all that stuff that was going into it, all these steps. And I just needed a place to test them. So I get down to this little area in Pennsylvania. It's called Trout Run. It's right off of the Great Lake. And there's a little pond there. And I would go there and I would test all the baits. I would test the swimmers and these gliders there. And I finally have the finished product that's working correctly where I want it. The eye screws are correct. The hooks are correct. The weight is correct. There's two coats of epoxy on it. And I'm getting some footage. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing's like running perfectly. This looks amazing. You know, I really, really like this bait. I finally achieved it. You know, I was just waiting so long to get this done. And you finally hit pay dirt to get this bait done. And you're like, this is it. You know, you got it in your hands. Take a couple videos. My wife takes a couple videos of me. And I'm like, okay, one last one. Well, granted, I'm right off this lake shore. And there is a tremendous storm coming off the lake. It's just turning black behind me. My eyelets are freezing up. I chuck the bait out there one more time for a test. And it cuts the line. And that glider sinks to the bottom of this pond. And I could not believe it. I mean, I was so flustered. I was like, no, you know, I had it. You know, everything was right there. And I lost that lure. And I put on chest waders. I went back in that storm. I had a rake. I had nets. I had everything trying to find this thing in this pond. And I never found it. And it also never dawned on me. I was so blinded by getting this thing finally dialed in that I didn't even realize that I had more in the house. I was like, I have the same exact test study right in my basement. But I was just so dialed in on this, like this one lure. I was like, no, like this is the one that works. You know, I gotta get that one. And I was like, oh, I could just, you know, slap two more layers of epoxy on this thing and I'll have another one in no time. Because I remember exactly where everything was. It was all documented. But so when you talk about like what goes into this, it kind of makes you, you know, you turn into this like mad scientist of trying to, you know, get this thing dialed in. And, you know, you just get blinded where, you know, that thing sank to the bottom and I dove in after it like it was my child. You know, I was like, I got to get this thing. You know, it was just, it was hilarious. It was a rough day. And, you know, once I came back to my senses, I was like, listen, you could just make another one really, really quickly. Like you have enough test studies, but that's what happened with the six, you know. And there's just a lot that goes into it. And then, you know, I get it dialed in and we have a lot of snow and a lot of ice happening. I don't have any open water. And then I'm, you know, calling YMCAs and calling hotels to see if I can use their pools to test them before I put them out on the market, you know. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes into making these lures. That's why I'd say I packed a lot of sweat equity into a short amount of time to get this stuff dialed in because I wanted them done for the spring. So, you know, that was my my motivation and discipline for till about Christmas.
I'm just wishing that your wife would have kept rolling the footage when it snapped off. That would have been, class. Oh, she did, huh?
Oh, she did. Yeah. It's sad. I mean, it could have been in like a movie where it's like a very like, you know, triumphant, just knocked down a peg immediately into suffering. And yeah, I probably would have won an Academy Award for that. I just like kind of hit the ground like, no. Did you ever see the movie Platoon?
Yep.
Okay. At the end, you know, the guy, the helicopter leaves as a guy on his knees, you know, in the helicopter is his refugees there. His way to get home is leaving. That's kind of how it was. So very, very funny stuff looking back on it, but it just makes for good stories. And it just keeps me going because sometimes you need knocked down, you know, and to do it again, especially with gliders. You gotta get that repetition in with them. You know, as a bait maker, we like to think that we're very consistent. You know, we're not as consistent as we think, though. That's why people have, you know, the magic lure, the one that they always throw on. You know, there's in the batches that, you know, everyone could be the magic lure. So with gliders, it's always good to have multiple ready to go, which I did. I just didn't realize that in that time because I was so blinded by getting it done. But with gliders, especially how finicky they are, have multiple ready to test and ready to go so you can get that consistency.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Vance, let's quick talk about the 6-inch and 8-inch. When would you choose one, or when are you going to choose the 6 over the 8 and vice versa? Like, what's the thought process there?
So the thought process with the 6 is in the reservoirs, and when you're fishing, when you have the ability to fish like we do year round, so you can hit the pre-spawn and you want to fish shallow. You know, we're doing a lot of casting up onto the bank, like right at the bank shoreline, and bringing it back to the boat. That's what the 6 was made for, that early spring bite. Now, this will be successful whenever, you know, they hit what you throw. But my idea was early springtime reservoirs, chucking up into that shallow bank, which might be 6 inches of water, might be a foot of water, and bringing it back to the boat with ease. It doesn't have such a tremendous fall rate as the 8 does. I would say that it sinks at about 6 inches a second, you know, for the 6. That's what I was counting. They're like a 1/1000 down 6 inches. So in a shallow presentation up onto the bank, that would be my number one, the throw with. And you can work this over new weed growth. You can work it over whatever. It's a tiny glider. Really quick. You can work it quick. You can work it slow. So for those banks, it's for that early season. But, you know, of course, don't sleep on it on your cold front days when you think you have to downsize or yada, yada, yada. Whatever you're comfortable with as an angler, you know, please do it. But that's what my original thought was. Shallow, throw it up on the bank, bring it back to you. The 8, deep structure, deep weed edges. You can count that thing down, has a wobble just like the 6. Sinks a bit faster, give it a foot, a 1/1000. And you can work it up from the depths. If you want to work it a little bit quicker, you can work it over high structure. You can also throw it when you get good at throwing gliders, you can throw this thing up onto the bank just like the 6. And if you're handy with the glides, you can work a bigger glider shallow prior to that water tapering off as well. But I would say for that 8, deep structure, reservoirs, natural lakes. I mean, the 8-inch is really, you know, done well from the Virginias all the way up to the French River to Lake St. Clair to the St. Lawrence River. It's got fish all over the place, Georgian Bay. So it's done well all over and in all presentations where you would feel a glider is good.
Well, I'm assuming as we get more of these things in the hands of many capable musky anglers that I don't know, will grow, you know, that, you know, it's more of an Eastern bait right now, but, you know, musky anglers are going to start using this thing here in, you know, Wisconsin and Illinois and in Minnesota this year. And I think you're going to see some, it's going to take some roots down in some of these states as well.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. You know, I've already got some messages from people and, you know, they've picked a couple up at the shows and from out your guys' way, and really, really appreciative of that. And I can't wait to see what they do out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, let's talk about one more thing before we let you go, Vance, and that is availability. You talked about it briefly. This is we'll call it a time filler, essentially. This is a project for you to do in the off season. So my assumption is when the current market of stingers is gone, that's going to be it for the season until you start making baits again next winter. Is that correct?
100% correct.
All right.
Yeah, I am on the water until December 1st. And I am not coming off, and I'm not picking up a an airbrush until the following December. So yeah, what's a Team Rhino is what's there for this year.
Excellent. And, you know, on the plus side, if you're listening to this podcast on, you know, in the early going of release date, the selection has never been better. We have lots of them in stock, many, many colors to choose from. You know, Vance, we even took on all of your stuff from that you had at shows, all the show colors you had. Those are available in limited quantities. And I know that over this past weekend, since we've got them up, I'd say Friday-ish, they've even been, you know, trickling out the door. So if you're looking to get your hands on some 6-inch or 8-inch stingers, now is the time. Not only is it the time because this is the time of year when most anglers or many anglers are using glide baits, but it's also the time because your selection is at its highest. Don't wait until July.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Vance. Well, I don't have much else to add to this episode. I think we covered, you know, the ins and outs of this bait really well. Talked about where you can find it, what you can use it on, how you use it. A little bit about your background. So I just want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk about the new stinger baits from VK Muskie Lures. I'm anxious to see how this goes. I know, of course, anytime we get something new in the shop, I got to play with it. So I had to grab a couple the TRO colors to throw in my boat. So we're going to get some 6-inchers and 8-inchers working this year as well. It'll be cool.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on. And thanks to everybody for listening to me talk. I talk for a living, so if I ramble on, so be it. I'm sorry, but thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in again with us for another episode of the Team Rhino Outdoors Muskie Fishing Podcast. We will be back with another episode again next week, Monday. So stay tuned. Check us out on all the places that you can find podcasts on all the most popular podcast apps. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see everybody next week.